Well, before we get going in the message today, I was thinking about something this morning as I was coming over here. This series is going to be preached by Pastor Matt and me and Pastor Dan. And maybe some of you knew this. I'm guessing most of you didn't. But all three of us were on the same soccer team together in college. And Matt played defense. And then I was in the middle as a midfielder. And then Dan took the ball and didn't allow any of us else to score. He scored all the goals. I'm just kidding. He was a way better soccer player than I was, and he scored all the goals and things. So kind of neat that, you know, whatever it is, 20-some years later, we're kind of joining together, teamwork in this little series together. Last week, Pastor Matt got us started, and today I want to start off with a question for you to think about. What's the biggest mess you've ever had to clean up? Some of you are, we got some laughter over here. Some of you are maybe thinking back to when your kids were little, I'm sure, or maybe you're in that season right now. I think back to a time when we first moved to Lakeville, and we were going to have our extended family over for Thanksgiving, and I had just started to be a homeowner for the first time and really getting to know how things worked. And so one of the things we were serving was mashed potatoes at this Thanksgiving dinner. So we're peeling all these potatoes, and we thought it would be a good idea to put them all in the sink and then run them through the garbage disposal. And we flipped the switch, and they got stuck under the sink. The dishwasher wouldn't work. We had a water filtration system. That all got clogged with these little potato peels, but the worst thing was that because the filtration system got clogged, what meant it backed up and we had potato water kind of trickling down from under our sink down into the basement. And remember, we're having people over in like an hour. It was horrible. And today I can smile about it. You know, if I had told this story 20 years ago, or not that long, but whatever it happened, very different story, because when you're in the midst of a mess, you can look back on it and laugh, but in the middle of it, it's not very fun at all. What's the biggest mess you've ever had to clean up? Now, believe it or not, there are messes in life that make potato peels in the garbage disposal look like, well, small potatoes. And in this series, we're talking about different types of messes. Maybe now or in the past, you found yourself to be in a relational mess. Maybe with some parents, or maybe your spouse, maybe kids or siblings, and the rift is so big and the hurt is so deep that you're just not even sure where to start or how to begin. For others of us, maybe it's a financial mess. And you went to the seminar and you read the book, but it took years to get into the mess, and you're not going to be able to just to go to one seminar and get out of it, and you know the stress that can happen when you're in a financial mess. Or maybe it's an emotional mess, where you are someone who's just feeling overwhelmed by life and frustrated or anxious or worried, and you don't want to feel that way anymore, but you're just not sure what to do with it. Here's what I know. This series is for every single person in this room or listening online, whether your house is immaculate or not, that the reality is something we talked about last week, that I'm the messiest person I know. And if you were to dig deep just for a moment, I think that would be true of you as well, that you're the messiest person you know. And you know why? Because you know you better than anyone else. You know the words you wanted to say, but in some moments had the wisdom not to say it. You know the thoughts you were thinking, but no one else does. And then sometimes, and maybe this is just me, but sometimes I do the right thing, but yet it's still for the wrong reason, right? And we look in the mirror every day, and if we're to be honest, we are the messiest people that we know. So here's the question. What do we do with it? Some people spend their whole lives blaming other people. And I think all of us have a little bit of this in us. We see it with Adam and Eve with the very first sin, right? That it's so easy to blame other people for the messiness inside of me, and they did, or if they wouldn't have, or whatever. And so we can blame others. Others of us, maybe we just avoid the mess altogether. It's kind of like that closet where you put all the junk so no one can see it. You just kind of pretend it's not there, and so you just avoid it. And others of us, man, we know it's there. We don't know what to do about it, and we're just overwhelmed by the mess. There's something better we can do. I'm the messiest person I know, but it doesn't need to bring me down or overpower me. And that leads us to our first fill-in. I'm a fill-in type of guy. I don't know if this is your regular type of tradition here at Faith, but even if you don't want to fill it in, you'll notice on or in your bulletin opportunities to follow along. This is so if you're starting to fall asleep, you know, I get you back to, you know, that you write something down, okay? So this is our first fill-in. Jesus isn't afraid of your mess. Jesus is not afraid of your mess. And I think that's so important to remember, especially because sometimes if someone's new online or maybe new in this room, I think sometimes there's this impression that you have to get cleaned up first and then you can come to church. Now, I don't know about Faith. Maybe you guys are just have no messes internally at all, but I'll tell you, your brothers and sisters at North Cross, we are pretty messy people, and we don't take pride in that, but we acknowledge that. And if you are someone new or thinking about getting back into church, I know that's what Faith is all about as well. It's an acknowledgement. Not that we have to get cleaned up first to come here, but that we're a group of people who have messes, and yet we've learned what we can do about it, that Jesus is not afraid of your mess, that we can come honest and forthright, and he doesn't love the mess, Jesus, but he's not afraid of it. And maybe better than me just telling you that, I'd like to give you an example of that. So during Jesus' ministry, there was this time when the Pharisees, they were some Jewish religious leaders, they brought a lady in front of Jesus to kind of test him, to kind of get to see, okay, what would Jesus say about this lady? She happened to be someone who had been caught in adultery. And at that time, in the Jewish law code that the Pharisees were following, that this lady could have been stoned, killed for her adultery. And they brought her in front of Jesus, wondering what he might say. And this is what he said in John chapter 8. Let any of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone?" What he's saying is, you guys are so quick to point out this woman's sin. You're so focused on the mess in other people's lives. What about the mess in your own lives? And I think we still have this in us, don't we? Like, have you ever listened to a message and you're like, "Man, I really wish she was here to hear this." Or he really needs to hear this. Or maybe it's the person sitting next to you and you give them a little elbow, like, "Listen closely here," right? We're so easy to find the mess in other people's lives. And what Jesus is saying is, okay, Pharisees, yeah, she's got a mess. But who here doesn't? At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. And listen to what Jesus, the perfect Son of God, says. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. I told you, Jesus is not afraid of your mess. He was not afraid of this woman's mess. And in fact, he didn't just come to speak this word of forgiveness, as you know. He came to prove it. And when the Father saw Jesus on the cross, the spotless, sinless Son of God, in a very real way, God the Father saw all of our messes put on him. And in one act of his death and suffering and his resurrection on the third day, Jesus didn't just declare this woman to not be condemned. He did the work for her, and he has done the work for us. This is a place where we celebrate our messes being taken care of so that they don't need to any longer be something we carry around with us. Now, I want you to listen what he follows up with. Here's what Jesus said: "Go now and leave your life of sin. Go now and stop sinning. I forgive you," Jesus says, "but I don't want you to stay there. I forgive you. I've taken care of your mess. But Ben, don't put potato peels in the sink anymore, okay? You learned your lesson. Now let's change. Let's turn away from that lifestyle. Let's not get into that again." I think this is important for us to understand. Jesus meets us in our mess. He's not afraid of it, but he doesn't want you to stay there. He doesn't want us to stay in that mess. And I think that's where people tend to get things a little bit wrong with the Christian life. Do you know that there are certain religions that they view Christians as, or in Christianity, as being a very wimpy religion? What I mean by that is, yeah, you're the ones that believe that you can do whatever you want and Jesus still forgives you. So what does it matter what you do? You're just forgiven anyway. Now, you and I know that that's not true. What they would say is, if Jesus cleans up my mess, it doesn't matter what I do. And I have a sneaking suspicion that at times we've thought this way, either intentionally or unintentionally. Like, now, this could be true if Jesus was some sort of Roomba. You know what those are? Those little, vacuum robots that have no personality, right? They're not alive. They just, their job is to clean up messes. But you know what the Bible talks about when it comes to Jesus? The best way that I can have you understand faith is to think about it with this word. It's a relationship. It's a relationship. Now, I want you to think back to when you lived at your parents' house as a kid. For some of you, you're doing that right now. One of the things that moms and dads do
is they at times will clean up your mess, right? I didn't say they like doing it, but they do it. Now, try a little experiment once. I want you just for a week or two to not clean up any of your messes. So, you know, if you got your laundry, just throw it in the hallway. Garbage, just throw it in the air. Don't put your dishes away. How do you think that would go over? Not at all. It wouldn't go over at all. But Mom and Dad, they help clean up messes, yes. But when you're in relationship with someone, you don't want to create more messes for them because there is a love there. There is a love there. It's a relationship. And the same is true with God. We don't need to be fearful of our messes, but if we recognize what he did for us on the cross, if we recognize the love of a Savior, just like the love of a mom or a love of a dad, but greater than that, why would we want to keep on creating messes? And so here's a question. How do we create less of a mess? It's a really important question. And one that Paul talks about in the book of Galatians. Here's what he writes. He says that the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. He calls them acts of the flesh, the things that, left to ourselves before that relationship with God, these are the things that come naturally to the flesh. Now, what might you expect to come next? What I might expect is this, that Jesus would say, stop it. Stop doing those things. Stop making a mess. That's what I would expect Paul to write. But that's not what comes next. Here's what Paul writes next. But instead, the fruit of the Spirit is the opposite. It's love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Now, I want you to, first of all, notice what he focuses on. He focuses on these inner attitudes, these things inside of us, and he calls them fruit. And that's a very important word for us to think about. You know, if you have more love, what's going to be less? Hatred. If you have more joy, what is there going to be less? There's going to be less discontentment, right? If you have more peace, there's going to be less dissension, and so on and so forth. But he calls these things fruit. And what he wants us to recognize is what that video for the kids mentioned, is that the way we grow in having less messes in our lives, because if we have more of these things, we're going to have less of the things on the previous slide, is not by, oh man, I got to try harder. And there is some of that involved, but even more importantly, we put our focus somewhere else. Let me talk about fruit again. Let's take an apple tree as an example. Let's say that the apple tree has been neglected and it hasn't been pruned for years and it hasn't been sprayed. You haven't made sure that it has enough water. And more than likely, you're not going to have a good harvest most of the time if you don't take care of the tree. Now, let's say you've got this basket of apples after having not taken care of the tree, and there's black spots and soft spots and worms and everything. There's two options you have. One is to just focus purely on the fruit. And you can take that basket and you can pull the worms out and try to wipe the slime from the worms off and get some red spray paint to make the fruit look really nice and then eat it. And oh man, oh, so tasty. Not at all, right? The other option is take care of the tree.
focus on the tree, and the fruit will follow. The harvest will follow. Keep that in mind as we read this. Verse 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So this crucifying of the flesh, where that list of sinful nature and attitudes come, this crucifying of the flesh happened with Christ on the cross. And as you know, someday, man, what a day to look forward to. We will not have to anymore battle temptation or sin. But in the meantime, before that day in heaven, we have the power to do better. We've been given the power to make less messes in our lives. How do we do it? By focusing on fruit. And Jesus is going to change us from the inside out. And rather than focusing on the apples, we focus on the tree and the fruit will come. How does he change us from the inside out? He says, since we live by the Spirit, then let's keep in step with the Spirit. Or how about this? So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Live by the Spirit. Stay in step with this. What does this mean? Let me get really practical with you. So almost every summer, I have one of my friends from church ask me this question. Are you a golfer? And I don't know how to answer that question. And here's why. I have golf clubs, I have shoes, I have tees, and I have balls. I don't think I have a glove, but I have the things that I could be a golfer, but I go like once every other year. I know how to golf, but I don't do it much. Am I a golfer? I still don't know what to say. But then you take someone like Phil Mickelson or Rory McIlroy. These are professional golfers for those that may not know. And they have the bag and the clubs and the tees and all that you need. And they golf all of the time. They don't just have the stuff. They've made golf a lifestyle. And I think, friends, this is at the heart of living by the Spirit. Living by the Spirit is not having the shoes and the clubs and making faith something you do once a week on Sunday morning. Living by the Spirit, staying in step with the Spirit, is having a lifestyle where we're being intentional with walking in with Him every single day. And I think you get this. And the question that I want you to think about for this week, the way that I want you to apply this, and if you're married, I want you to talk about it with your spouse, or maybe if you have kids, talk about it with your kids. If you're single or don't have anyone, you can call me and I'll talk to you about it, okay? No, you know what? Call Pastor Dan. He'll talk to you about it. What does it look like in my life to keep in step with the Spirit? Should be a question mark there. What does it look like? And I told you earlier that I wanted to share with you three things that I've found to be so important for me. These do not need to be your three, although I think there's biblical precedence for these, but they may look different for you. For me, when I've noticed that I've been not perfect, but staying in step with the Spirit, one thing I've noticed in my life is when I'm diligent with weekly worship, when I'm carving out time at least once a week to celebrate the things that God has done for me. And online has been a wonderful option. I think there's something really special about coming together in person that I would never say that online would take the place of. But weekly worship, spending time together, celebrating God. The other thing is being intentional with daily devotions. It can be 5 minutes. It can be 15 minutes. But taking time to be in prayer and also listening to Jesus speak to us. How many days a week do you eat? Just Sunday mornings, right? Every single day, don't you? We will stay spiritually stronger and healthier when we're eating from the Word every single day. And then the last thing is Christian community. One of the most powerful things in my life, and I know Pastor Dan and your leadership have been starting to talk about this here at Faith, and I know Pastor Lemke is here, and Faith has always had this. It's just looked different in different seasons. But being intentional with having Christian friends who we allow in, and we talk more than just about the Vikings or the Twins or the weather, but we talk about real things, and to let people in is such a powerful thing, and is really what God has designed the body of Christ to be. People who can encourage and hold accountable. And when I've been intentional with these three things in my life, I still have messes. I'm the messiest person I know. But I've also seen there be more fruit and less messes. So, what should you do with your mess? Well, first of all, leave it here today. Don't go home with it. You don't need to be overwhelmed anymore. You don't need to avoid. You just lay it at the foot of the cross. He's taking care of it. But then there's something about having less messes. Don't put the potato peels back in the sink. Take steps to walk with the Spirit and see the amazing fruit that He'll create in your life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to gather around your word, to be fed, to grow, to think about the amazing work you've done for us through Jesus. And then, Lord, we ask for your strength and your power as you have promised to bear fruit in our lives as we stay in step with the Spirit. And Lord, I pray that we find this to be the reality in our lives and that we take intentional steps this week or maybe before school year starts to just really get into our lives habits that help us, that guide us to stay in step with the Spirit. We pray all this in Jesus, our Savior's name. Amen. Amen.